Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to this Zambia Copper Special Podcast. In this podcast, we explore the integral role of copper mining in Zambia, particularly focusing on the Copper Belt region. This area straddling Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo is not just a geographic location, but the heartbeat of Zambia's economy and a significant player in the global copper industry. Our discussions will delve into the economic and social impact of copper mining, the involvement and backing of the Zambian government, creation of numerous job opportunities, and the attraction of substantial foreigners like the recent $1.1 billion infusion from Abu Dhabi's International Resource Holdings in the Mopani copper mines. Zambia's economy significantly relies on copper mining, primarily concentrated in the Copper Belt area, an important region spanning Zambia and the DRC. This sector, crucial for the country's revenue, is supported by about 5 large open pit and 8 major underground mines, with the Zambian government holding stakes in some. The Copper Belt region, pivotal in Zambia's GDP, hosts major mining companies like Mopani Copper Mines and Konkola Copper Mines. The copper industry's evolution in Zambia, encompassing nationalization, post-independence, and later privatization due to financial crises, has shaped the country's economic landscape. Copper production methods vary, with the choice dependent on the resource type and location. So naturally, we welcome Colin Bird, Chairman of Extract Resources, Tolai Sikumba, CEO of Cooper Lemon Consultancy, who join us as panelists in this discussion. Welcome all.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Absolutely. So Colin, let's start with the location, Zambia. Talk us through the historics of Zambia in terms of mining and why you chose it as a jurisdiction for quite a few of your company-owned assets.
Well, let's start with one simple statement. There are mines working now in Zambia, which started in the 1920s. And one of them, the one which the Abu Dhabi Investment Group bought, in actual fact, has got a 50-year extended, life in front of now. So, you're talking about mines which are 100 years old. Major, major operations. Very skilled nation, and strangely enough, the skills have been passed down from generation to generation. And from my perspective, peaceful, friendly, fully understands mining. And this may seem a silly statement to you, and it'll be discussed later on. In terms of exploration, totally underexplored. And I'm often faced with the opposite. Colin, what you want to go there for is, might be a few bits and pieces, but largely, it's had a long history, and they connect long history with over-exploration, which is not necessarily true. Why am I particularly, Zambia's been very good to me. I mean, when I moved into Africa from the UK to work, I first went to Zambia and actually worked on these mines. I worked at Kitwe and was assistant underground manager after 4 years. So I looked after quite a large mine, the central shaft. Spent some time at Mindola and very little time at the south Albany shaft. So it was in my system there. It was very kind to me. It was a formative part of my career. And it taught me an awful lot about discipline. It taught me an awful lot about mining. And I was pleased about the experience. And then, of course, that experience took me into Zambia again in later life when I became somewhat entrepreneurial. I bought the Kalambila deposit and sold it on 19 months later for $265 million. I was founder, I was chief money raiser and an explorer, and so that was quite an achievement, and there hasn't been one on AIM before and there hasn't been one since. That's some of those reasons are good, but the key reason is that I look around the world. I certainly look in Latin America and poor old Central America, poor old FQM, First Quantum, have just willy-nilly had their mine taken from them, which they spent, I think, about $10.6 billion on. You've got a guy in Chile who's stopping every single project which is put on the table before the ministry, when in actual fact, Chile was as high as 37% of the world's copper. I look at Australia, we've experienced there with the Bushranger. We took 170,000 tons of copper to 1.3 million tons of copper. But, the exploration opportunities are limited to places like the Copper Belt. And then I look at other places around the world, some of them very new on the block and not without political troubles. So to be East Africa, I'm pretty active in Namibia, very active in Zambia. We've got exploration projects in Botswana. And I think emerging, Tolai knows the district better than I do, but I think emerging is Angola. And I think a lot of that geology we'll be talking about will be going down into Angola. I haven't plucked up courage yet to go there. And enough's enough. You know, we're working really hard in Zimbabwe. We're working really hard in Botswana and particularly Zambia. So maybe we've got enough on our plate. I think, you know, when you look, this copper which has to come, where's it coming from? I think that Southern Africa will play a big part in it, and Zambia particularly. So it's a long-winded answer to a pretty straightforward question.
No, I think it's a good answer. And maybe, well, Talai's on there. I think it's worth talking about, you know, we've talked about the Copper Belt. And when we think Zambia, we naturally think the Copper Belt. But obviously, there's been a lot of talk in the Northwest, the Western Foreland. And while we're on that subject, I think if we can just talk about the exploration license joint venture that was announced between, obviously, Extract and Cooper Lemon Consultancy. And really, these two exploration licenses, which are located, as I just alluded to, in the Western Foreland District that hosts this sort of Kamoa, Kakula-style deposit and the Central Fold and Thrust Belt. Do you want to just talk us, Tolai, how you identified these licenses and a little bit about joint venture, please?
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. And, well, where do I start? As Cooper Lemon, we have been strategically following the geology of Zambia. As you know, Zambia's major economy driver is copper, which we have been mining since the 1900s. And obviously, the attention has always been onto the Copper Belt because of the many discoveries we had, the Roan deposits and the Copper Belt with the big mines, Mopani, Konkola Copper Deep, and etc. But there has been a very big hypothesis that the Western Foreland and all the deposits that form part of Angola's Moxico province and Kolwezi up in the Congo sit in what is our northwestern province and which sits in Munilunga district with our subsequent Solwezi, where FQM do have the three Sentinel, Trident, and what's the last one, Kansanshi. So we've always been chasing the geology, following the theory that as much as we have all these great copper stories, Zambia still remains underexplored and we needed to get more extensive drilling in the area and get more copper deposits to work with. So we've, as Cooper Lemon, always, as we've been following with licenses, have been looking at where is there more production, more prospectivity for us to then engage in potential license venture acquisitions. And with the license that we have, this is 28001, that we got into a joint venture with Extract, it sits smack in the middle of that area. And our main theory is that the biggest deposits are sitting in the Lufilian Arc, which is an extension of the Western Foreland. The Northwest is the next big thing. So we're really trying to push this agenda and see if we can get positive results from extensive exploration.
So Tulai, why on earth would you deal with Extract? Why wouldn't you give it to one of the majors?
Well, we have dealt with the majors. What we do have on our other projects with the majors, the Anglos, the Rio Tinto, but decided to go with Extract for a different feel. With Extract, we're going for one, ethic. We've dealt with Mr. Bird on several other projects, and the team has always been upfront, very forward with what we're doing. We know what we're getting into when we're dealing with companies such as Extract, and also for consistency and reliability. As much as the majors do have the deep pockets, unfortunately, over time, maybe due to their bigger size of the portfolio, certain licenses in smaller projects don't get the attention that they need. But with a unit like Extract, it's a very tight unit, very precise and direct in what they wish to acquire. And with Mr. Bird at the helm, they are able to get the direct injection of investment into these projects. And it is definitely consistent without you having to have to ring the bell 10, 15 times. We've had a very smart response when it comes to Extract. So that is what made us decide to go in that direction, aside from going to the majors like FQM or Rio Tinto. For us, it's more bringing it down to the basics, bringing it to Zambia and making sure that as a Zambian partner, our project is directed.
So from that point of view, what on the street then in Zambia about the president's thoughts of copper of 3 million tons a year and also just the probabilities of you actually achieving that? There's obviously got to be some discoveries for this to happen.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Our president, Hakainde Hichilema, has definitely put a very big, high benchmark for us to chase, which is the 3 million tons of copper per annum. But this is not a far-fetched target. Why? Because Zambia currently is a great magnet for a lot of these mining. Have interests from the majors. We do have interest from junior mining companies, as well as entities who have never had any business in the mining and exploration field, like cobalt metals as an example. So this already tells us there's a lot of interest for further exploration. And with further exploration, there's true potential for us to get to more discoveries and deposits to get us into mining. So with that in mind, there's definitely a huge potential for us to get to the 3 million tons even sooner than 2028, as our president had said. So with this in mind, we are very excited for what 2024, 2025 exploration season has for us, because even with the old prospects, with new technology, there is a lot of room for expansion. Mopani coming back online with the Abu Dhabi group is also an indication for further exploration for expansion. We have another deposit that's come online just a few months to go before they get on board, which is Kitumba, which is in the central province. So there's a lot of smaller units outside of the major sizes that we've come to know about that are now coming up to speed with new investments, joint ventures, etc., bringing in the funding that is required to build mines to come online, small scale, medium, and large scale. So we are very, very, very excited for 2023-24.
What is the situation there? That if we just look at the different companies, we've got Extract, African Pioneer, Galileo, all with assets in Zambia. First, let's take Extract. The licenses that you have done a deal with Extract Resources, what other companies and situations are around that area in the Western Forelands?
So outside of the joint venture we've done with Extract on the license 28001, in the neighborhood, we have joint venture with Rio Tinto and Cobalt, who are not too far away from the license we've just discussed. We also have FQM having partnered with African Pioneer in neighboring licenses. So generally, with the three companies, African Pioneer, Extract, and Galileo, and our neighbors being Cobalt, Rio Tinto, and across the border, we've got Ivanhoe. It's quite exciting to be in that area as we begin our exploration season, because we know all the big boys are in that area and all the new players who want to come into Zambia are pushing to come into the Western Foreland. So we are quite optimistic that one of these at least will definitely give us a new discovery. So for the current location, it's very, very exciting, very, very promising.
Is this land a big parcel of land, a small parcel of land? Is it on the strike line that you think the Western Foreland passes through? Just give people an idea. I know you have a map, which we will try and put out as well in terms of this podcast. So just give people an idea of where the licenses are in respect to where the geologists believe that the copper exists.
So I'll try and make reference to your map, but I'm going to look at the one I have, which is our flexicadastre system. And the licenses where we have the joint ventures under African Pioneer, under Extract and Galileo, are all sitting on strike in the Western Foreland. Some are actually in the Lufilian Arc towards the Angola border. And all the geology is running right through our licenses on strike from DRC entry coming in through Minilunga right at the top of the Zambian map, which is our little sharp point where we've got our few licenses there. And it curves right into Angola and comes back into Zambia. So the entire region where the arc sits, the geology is sitting, we have the tenements that have got the joint ventures. So we are, unless the rocks decide to move, we are quite excited to know that we're sitting in the right address. And to just give us further confidence is that on either side of the border, we do have active mines, and these are very big deposits. And with response to the size of these tenements, these are quite big parcels of land. They cover, for example, this one, the one under Extract 28001 is about 28001, and the joint venture under Extract is 29123. And both lots are sitting right on strike with under the Lufilian Arc. And our neighbors on both sides of the border, Angola as well as on the DRC, we've got two very large mines that ore bodies are pushing, the geology is telling, is pushing into the Zambian area, which is into our license areas. So that's really why we've been following these kind of trends in picking our licenses. We don't just throw the dice and say which license we pick. We're following the trends. We're following where everybody is looking, and the geology is guiding our steps. So for us, all of the licenses that have ultimately ended up in joint venture partnerships are those with high prospectivity. As Mr. Bird has said, he knows Zambia pretty well, like the back of his hand. And he's the only person on record that I know so far who's found a discovery, and there's been none after him. So for us, the partnering with him is also quite an achievement in itself, because we know we're going in with somebody who has got the technical know-how, who understands the geology, and who can actually make a business sense out of what it is we're trying to achieve. Yeah. So far,
history can repeat itself again, as they say. And
exactly.
Just talk us through, Tolai and Colin, as well, because obviously there was talk about, there's been very limited exploration to date, and obviously there was initial field work was due to commence in September. So just talk listeners through the planned, you know, development or the next steps for these two, for the multiple licenses across Extract and Galileo.
Well, you know, by virtue of the fact that we're all in public disclosure and quarterly reports have to be filed, it'd be very difficult for any company to keep secrets. So there's a modus operandi to drill. There's companies who's got the firepower and the money to use the ice. And in fact, in one particular company, Cobalt, they're actually talking artificial intelligence to identify new ore bodies. So in a way, we don't need to make the discovery. We hope we make the first discovery, but we're being led by every single tool which is available in this world of really fancy geochemical, which can see down much further than conventional geochemical. Geophysics, which are state-of-the-art, and artificial intelligence, which none of us understand. So Tolai referred to a discovery. One of them will make it. The architecture, that's suddenly got introduced into our science, the architecture, the geology, if you like, of the area, depends on structures, depends on pretty much two layers, one called the Petit Conglomerate, the other called the Grand Conglomerate. There exists absolutely no doubt, because we at our combination, Cooperland, First African Pioneer and First Quantum, lay claim to the fact we've identified beyond reasonable doubt that the Kamoa and Forelands down in Zambia. And if you haven't got those, you haven't got the architecture, you haven't got the structure. And what you're looking for within this architecture is features which are, let's call them, for no better word, entrapments. Now, the entrapments needn't be huge, when sometimes you're talking as high as 11% copper, but generally you're talking 4 or 5% copper. It's a dream. It's a dream, Phil. You know, that Kamoa mine isn't a, you know, it's not a metal mine. It's a coal mine. There it is. It dips at 3 degrees. It's wide. They bring in the drill machines underground, these great big trucks and loaders, and just truck it up the decline. And gee whiz, you know, in a not that long, they've established themselves as the world's second biggest copper mine, and it's set to grow. And would you believe, you know, I think it's 2019, BHP offered $3 billion for what's on the northern side of the, you know, the DRC side for a 35% stake. It's rumored, it's in the press, and many others now are seeking to get, you know, those who want copper, those who want inventory copper, or those who actually want physical copper. So that in no small way includes the Japanese, the Chinese, of course, are out there trying to buy minority stakes. It's in the press, minority stakes, huge amounts of money, $1 billion wasn't acceptable in 2019. So you're not talking about a nice little find, you know, of a VMS small type copper situation. You are talking about one of the biggest regions. We are talking about one of the biggest regions ever discovered in history. And you might be saying, thank God, sir, because I don't know where the copper's coming from. And I'm absolutely convinced that these discoveries will bring peace to DRC. Yeah. You know, they're real mines producing to a real economy and basically settling down the entire region. And the Zambian president has made it very clear that he wants to be part of the big Southern African copper expansion.
Yeah, but I mean, are we talking, you know, there's talk of this 3 million tons number per annum, but, you know, mining's been going on there for centuries. I mean, surely that a lot of that's already been taken out of the ground. Is it not an overexplored region, Colin?
hate to make the statement because some people might laugh at me if we're living in that sort of world, but it's totally unexplored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Tolai and I have gone on about the Northwest, but what happened in central Zambia was very exciting. You get a gotten, you know, sort of surface evidence of copper and gold. And along, sadly, not many, hardly any majors. Academia talked about iron, oxide, copper, gold, but the juniors would come along, and I don't want to sort of be unkind to my contemporaries, but they drill underneath this surface indication with the expectation of, you know, 10 meters at 2 or 3% copper with a half a gram of gold. And of course, they were teasers. They were just absolute teasers. At Ashinganda, for example, we're drilling and we're finding 250 meters of continuous mineralization. We've found as high as 1 ounce of gold. On the east, we've got something, you know, 5 and 6% copper with maybe half a gram of gold. And then we go about 7 kilometers west and we've actually got an ounce of gold in one position, 31 grams of gold. But strangely, the copper's 0.28. So we're convinced, and this is why we bought, you probably, it's in the papers, where we've recruited Mike Allman, who said Anglo-American Copper Ventures in the whole of Africa. We've got Hunter, which is our new MSC geologist. We bought a new MSC geologist from, I think it's Camborne. And we've got a five-man team now in Zambia, really taking it to bits. You know, we've got young mines. With mines like Mike, who have actually run the whole operations for major mining companies. And we've got Ed, of course, Ed Slowey, who was there for Rio. So when you look at it, we've got the whole scale of geologists, new entrants with good, fertile mines, wanting to make their mark. We've got guys who's been there and seen it all before. I basically now have got the strongest team of geologists I've ever had in my career, by far. And we Zambia, Botswana, and Namibia are our focal points. And there's a lot of connection when you start, you know, joining up the dots and people really understand the geology. We're creating the models that, and this sort of work isn't going on in the major mining companies. You've got to remember, you know, if we go back 25, 30 years, the major mining companies have got probably 50-man teams of geologists. The new business department now consists of a couple of geologists, and they tend to let us smaller companies, if you like, I hate the word juniors, but smaller companies take all the business risk, and of course, the successors are bought by them. It's a model which is showing to work for them, and it's a model which is showing for our industry. But what London definitely needs now is the discovery, of course. It's been too long.
Obviously, Galileo has cash ready to go ahead with its license. What on earth are you going to do with the Extract? How are you going to finance this thing?
Well, Extract's been announced, and of course, subject to shareholder votes, we'll have regular income coming in, will allow us to do that exploration and also pursue the small mine strategy that Tolya referred to earlier. You know, that the day of the small miner is back. I'm known for saying that. And back to that story I told of central Zambia, there's lots of processing plants with no feed. There's quite a lot of small projects, I don't know, a million and a half, 2 million tons, at decent grades, who could in actual fact provide the feed for those plants which are standing idle, so for the requirement of feed. So that's our plan. We will have sufficient money on our sort of graduated sale to finance both the establishment of small mines, 5 to 8,000 tons of copper per year, and pursue all of our objectives in the Northwest Exploration Foreland area. You know, the Western Foreland area that we've committed to. So we're well placed. We're well financed, subject to shareholder approval, to in actual fact pursue our mission of both small mines and, of course, getting the best out of this Western Foreland positions, which are bang on strike, right in the middle of large mining companies who are desperate to increase their copper inventory.
So give us a bit more detail about the finances coming in from Extract with the sale of what's happening in Mozambique.
Well, we announced recently that, you know, we had that 23% interest in the Manica project. The mine was getting deeper, so I guess costs were getting deeper, required more capital even before phase two. And so we thought it was prudent for our shareholders to, in actual fact, give guarantees of share and not every month be arguing about, is this capital, is this expense, and asking the other side to justify their expenses. This agreement we've got, if we don't get our money in 14 days, we pay a dollar and we get the old mine back. Equally, phase two was a bit indeterminate. Where's the sulfides? What's the recovery of the sulfides? How much does the sulfide plant cost? will the sulfide plant be ready in time, et cetera, et cetera. That's all gone away. So what we've done really, and it looks like a purchase, when in actual fact, it's guaranteeing consistent on onward payments from Manica to furnish our, to facilitate all our efforts in Zambia. And of course, we talked about this at the annual general meeting because, and we've got our profits from Manica by the other route, the 23% stake. Of course, by definition, they would have been not routed into phase two of the Manica. They would have been routed into this, into the actual exploration adventure. Adventure is not the word, the exploration sorte that we're in now. We've really positioned ourselves, Phil, in the best ground, I think the best ground in the world, surrounded by very capable high technology majors, and anything they find will feed into a, feed into our situation as well. So what is that sale? It's basically it's guaranteeing that we get our money. It's guaranteeing that we've fulfill our objectives in Zambia. And it's also given us the rights to have the property back should we not get our money. That's how Extract's going to fund this. And let's face it, we've got $2.5 million in the bank now, which facilitates our commitments anyway into what's happening in Northwest, with a lot more coming. And even if they do not carry out phase two, they still have to pay us $3 million. So, which of course we're not contributing to either any of the technology, research, drilling, flow sheet design, et cetera, et cetera. What have we, our shareholders? They've not got to find any money for phase two. They've not got to find any money for exploration. They've not got to find any money for anything to do with Manica. And they're in the boxing ring now in one of the, what I think is one of the best geological environments in the world.
So Tallulah, do you concur? And have they moved the rocks is the question.
I completely concur with Colin. I am excited for potential for a discovery, but also with the sale of the Manica project, it's definitely a guarantee that our projects and prospects are not going to go to sleep. And we sure know that immediately the rainy season comes to an end, we should be getting boots on the ground to get work moving. With respect to have they moved the rocks on the ground, well, so far so good. We haven't heard of any major calamities that change the geology. So we do know that we should be expecting to be getting very positive readings in the area, which is, we've got the African Pioneer License, which is about 22 kilometers away, if I'm not mistaken. They've already started giving us very good results on the FQM drilling venture. So that is already giving us a very good indicator that when we do start getting work done, we should be also getting good direction. And on the other western side, we've got Cobalt, who are already have indicated they've got targets for the new drilling for 2024. Rio Tinto share the same opinion to say they've already got their targets set for the license, which is just right under the Extract license. So all the majors in the area are also quite excited with their own exploration ventures. That also gives us a lot of confidence to say when we get into the ground, we're going to find something worth to discuss. And like Colin said, we need a discovery. And for us, whether it's the majors find it first or we find it, it's a very good indicator for the Northwest and also for our president's mission for 3 million tons. That gives good indication that the next copper belt now sits in the Western province and we've got a very big, big boom should everything come together. Everybody might find something.
Is this a bit of a race who finds it first scenario or has somebody already found it?
We're still in a race to who finds it first, but now with a lot of new technology, new mines, like Colin said, we've got a great team of geologists. Some have been in the business longer and others are new, fresh minds bringing us new insights. It's more the race to the finish line, who gets there first. But irrespective of who gets there first, any new discovery in the area is a very good indicator for all other investments coming in. Because like we said, for our licenses, we're sitting in a very good geological space with very, very good rocks and architecture. So we're very expectant that something will come of it.
And you've got to remember, Phil, it's not as the discovery, is the discovery going to be made and who's going to be first. First Quantum and African Pioneer have made the discovery. Open announcement, announced by First Quantum, supported by First Quantum, filed in the quarterly reports. The Grand Conglomerate has been discovered. The Petit Conglomerate has been discovered. And all of the rocks which lead to Kamoa have been identified. So it's not, maybe we're in the Western Foreland, maybe the Western Foreland goes into Zambia. our association already, we're the leaders. Because with First Quantum, our joint venture, we have actually, in both our licenses, identified that the Western Foreland exists, and we are indeed in the Western Foreland Kolwezi Kamoa type mineralization. So I'd like to dispel the suggestion, you know, as we abandon that suggestion, that we're still looking for the environment. We, in terms of the new book, if you like, new geology book, ourselves in First Quantum have defined that the Western Foreland does not belong solely to the Congo, but goes down all the way into northwest and quite a way into Zambia. Now we're beginning to find also, because I think Ivanhoe have staked our ground, they're pretty determined it goes down into Angola too.
Into Angola as well, yeah.
Okay, so what are the next steps then? I mean,
as Tolai says, when the rain stops, we don't want, you know, you don't go wildcatting these things. We've got the information, we will have the trends from other people's work as well as our own. We have not mentioned to you that, you know, apart from Koa, there's Kamoa. There's this big system in the Kolwezi, which is very near surface and also contains cobalt. So we'll be having two consecutive programs. One will be finding near surface material. And it needn't be able to support its own mine, of course, because, you know, in one of the joint ventures, First Quantum, they've got Kansanshi and particularly Kalambila Sentinel, which would welcome additional ore. So it needn't even be a standalone mine. And as for Kamoa, Kamoa will be about 550 meters deep as it is in the Congo, something like that. You know, you're notwithstanding faulting, which may throw it up, may throw it down, all these things happen in geology. But having established the framework, the architecture is there, one of us is going to fire an hole straight through mineralization. And that they will be the leader, the pathfinder, but they won't be proving anything because the industry knows. People like Cobalt don't go guessing with shareholder money. And you know their shareholders are people like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. This is a very serious company with a very serious budget and the claim of artificial intelligence. So one of us is going to find it. And remember, discovery means you establish a trend, you confirm a trend, and it makes it easier for the people who are surrounding you. But, you know, every day, I mean, I think Friedland Ivanhoe announced the other day, to the northwest, they found yet another large ore body. So, you know, they're making their way down the west of the Foreland, but they keep getting waylaid by new discoveries in and around the Kamoa mining district. Yeah. It really is something, you know. I mean, who the hell is mining a flat ore body, 5.5% copper, 3 meters thick? It really is the miner's dream. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've also seen the likes of Barrick, that they've been, I think they invested about $2 billion into the expansion to increase the Lumwana mine. And that's given circa about $3 billion US to the Zambian economy. So it's all helps, you know, everybody's lives in Zambia for taxes, royalties, salaries. And obviously they've also committed to like local employment, about 99.3% of the workforce on that project, Lumwana, a Zambian national. So it all helps out, doesn't it, at the end?
Well, that's traditional copper belt, of course. And Lumwana kept changing hands. Nobody wanted it. The Deke stake at 20% can get rid of it. And in comes the gold miners. And I think their own in-house geologist got a theory and followed it through and found a huge ore body. And of course, Lumwana is very close to Kalambila. And so that Solwezi district in general is coming alive. First Quantum are spending nearly $1 billion to get 80,000 tons more of copper per year out of Kansanshi. That's got a nice gold credit too. So, you know, that Solwezi region is going to be the mecca, if you like, of the new copper world. And then Kitwe is resurrected, you know, the Phoenix is there in Kitwe by the Abu Dhabi IHR going in there and spending $1.1 billion. You'll, of course, I've read a few months now, I think it is that Vedanta are going back into
KCM. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the Botswana
vibe situation.
Big investment from them in Botswana, wasn't it? The Kalahari Copper Belt.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was Sandfire. Yeah, that's right. But it's Vedanta who's going back to KCM.
Yeah.
One of Cobalt's acquisitions in Zambia is the Minglomba mine. So Minglomba is one of our deep underground mines, and Cobalt have acquired 60% of that, and they've got put in also further investment in expanding the ore body going downwards towards their eastern tailing. So that adds to also the viability of existing mines, giving them further life. So with Minglomba getting another 50 years Mopani expanding with a $1.6 billion investment, Kansanshi with Vedanta coming back on, and we've got our prospects with Galileo around the Lurwansobe. It's all looking very good for 2024, 2025. And even for any new entrants, any new players into the market outside of ourselves who are on this panel, it's a very, very exciting time for Zambia because a lot of this ground, like Colin says, is unexplored. And with this advance in technology, we could always get some of this architecture retested and reevaluated to prove the hypothesis.
Just while you mentioned Lurwansobe, just tell us a little bit about Lurwansobe, if you don't mind, from a Galileo perspective.
So Lurwansobe is a tenement we a joint venture we entered on with Galileo. And so far, we've drilled Lurwansobe. We've got a 7 million ton upside cap confirmed. And we've got a further 70 million, probable 70 million tons sulfide underground. This tenement for us is very exciting. It's 3 kilometers away from Mopani, and that gives us a very, very good area for tracking our ore, immediate mining. And also around the area, we've got a lot of processing plants that had been lying dormant due to the fact that the big operators, Mopani and KCM, did have most of their ore be processed in-house. But that gives us an opportunity to then provide for the smaller units that are run by the Chinese mining houses for processing. So on the Galileo Lurwansobe prospect, we're just now looking to bring that into production for 2024. If all our cards align, we should be working towards completing our mine plan and bringing this into production for no later than September, October. Colin, you could always just confirm your timelines, but I believe that is what we're trying to work towards.
That's right. Sooner the better. You know, we kind of divorced the mini pit, if you call it. To call it in a mini pit, and that will be a nice mine, about 600,000 tons a year for about 8 to 9 years. And if the ore body shows itself to be what it is, we will X that open pit and go down to about 600 meters. But there's an old, bigger story is, referred to, and you know, the deepest hole was 2.2% at 1,250 meters, and that's a world-class deep mine. And we're in no doubt at all when with our modeling in London and the work we've done that below 550 it is poorly explored, superficially explored. And we're also convinced as a team that some of those were in the wrong place, so we're quite excited, if you like, put the science right and confirm a large deposit below the open pit. So we're actually treating them as two separate projects. We're delinking them. So sort of any investor who comes into Sobe has not Lurwansobe pit, but not necessarily got a position in the deeps, because we want to, when we call them Lurwansobe deeps, that's our internal way of talking about them. Lurwansobe deeps, we think we'll make a new world-class project, Kitwe-type project in its own right.
So, Colin, when you talked about those numbers at Lurwansobe, that's obviously the amount of ore. How much contained copper per annum do you think can come out of Lurwansobe?
Well, I mean, you know,
in the shallow stuff.
Oh, the shallow stuff is quite well defined. The shallow, the mini pit, is around about 500,000 tons at 1.25%. That's very well designed. So, if you've got 6-7 million tons, you've got 14 years. And you've got a gap in the middle where there's all of a sudden the ore body drops a little bit, and you've got to either go underground there or face up to quite a steeper stripping ratio. The economics at the time will determine what we do. So that's park that on the side as a medium-sized mine, which is attracting quite a lot of interest, isn't it, Tolai? Every single day the phone rings from a different direction. People want to buy it, maybe. People want to purchase the ore in advance. People want to do the old mining and almost Manika style, do the mining, do the processing and give you a carry, all of those things. But the excitement from our point of view is proving up, now that the Abu Dhabi team have gone into Mopani, is to proving up a really big new source of ore for the Mufulira mine when they started. That's our mission now. And as I say, we haven't put that figure out. We haven't put that figure out of 70 million. It's in... And the old archives, Tolai, where we picked that up,
yes,
70 million tons as a forecast. And we know that we can't on this show endorse that. What we are doing is that there's a suggestion of a very large ore body. We feel good about it down to 550, 600. We're not so sure thereafter. We really want to test that.
Yes, just to confirm the fact is it's not a proven resource. And the idea behind the statement is to basically say that the Mufulira deposit has got a lot more potential aside from this the shallow pit. And for the immediate future, we do have a lot of interest from the processing group, the Chinese community, because unfortunately for the last 5 years, we haven't had a constant ore feed around the Koppeswald area for the obvious reasons. The big mining houses had been closed due to litigation issues, and also without major investments into the smaller units, there hasn't been further exploration to even warrant any mining to be done. So with having done some successful works on Luan Sobe, it puts us in a very good position even for the Abu Dhabi group. As they put their house in order, they do have at least some way they can guarantee some immediate feed. So we're quite excited about where this direction we're taking.
Yeah. So what would you say, sort of signing out to listeners who were maybe a little bit reticent to look at Zambia? I mean, what would you say to them?
Welcome to Zambia, I would say to them. This is, I think there's no better time to make an investment into Zambia for the exploration and mining. And the options endless, in my opinion. If you're willing, like Colin, to take that risk, to take that venture and come into Zambia, I feel you've got the opportunity to really make your own dream come true. The Western Foreland hypothesis is proven. So you have the entire Northwest showing prospectivity for copper, cobalt, and gold. The copper belt itself has got opportunity for further expansion with new technology to work on the old mine system, because as much as we've been mining for so many years from the 1920s, these ore bodies have not even been thoroughly, extensively exhausted. So for a new entrant, depending on your expertise like cobalt, they've come in and looking to expand on existing workings. So if somebody's looking to come into Zambia, the majors, the juniors, there is a place for everybody to come in and make that monetary gain. Further still, the new entry into Zambia and being a peaceful country that we are also gives us an opportunity to bring the focal point back to Zambia. Once upon a time, we're the world's biggest copper producer, and we are chasing to go back to that status by bringing in more exploration, more investment in mining, and also more creative and adventurous ways of dealing with copper. In the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, oxides were not our interest, but now we've got copper oxides as the basis, we've got sulfides, we've got cobalt, we've got gold. The options are endless. So whoever wants to come into Zambia, please, welcome to Zambia.
Great answer.
Yeah, we look forward to meeting you and being in Zambia when we come, probably in April, May time. So we look forward to seeing how all of these things progress. And thank you very much for your time. I know you have to go now. We'll just carry on with Colin for a few minutes, just about the prospects of the three companies that we spoke about.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dalai Sukumba, CEO of Cooper Lemon Consulting. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Dalai.
So Colin, give us an overview of what you think is going to happen over the next sort of 1, 2, 3 years in Zambia within Extract, Galileo, and African Pioneer.
We're going to make that discovery, one of us is. If we don't make it, somebody around us is going to make it. And whoever makes it makes the ground so valuable, a sale will be possible. I think, you know, it's no secret that when I went into the situation in Kalambila, that you walk into Goldman Sachs to look for $2 billion to build a mine, you know, and the Goldman Sachs says to you, how many $2 billion mines have you built? So, well, this one and another will be two. You know, you've got to decide whether you're an explorer or a developer. So we're there positioning ourselves, and have successfully positioned ourselves, and have yet to position ourselves further in what is the most, and I will argue with anyone who wants to argue with me, if you want to talk regions, is the most prospective region of the world. If you want to talk about individual projects, maybe there is a discussion to be had. Some of them are in very questionable jurisdictions, and in the hand of majors, and if the porphyries, there's 15 years to wait before they actually join the new copper arena. So if you want new copper, if you want mines that can be developed, you know, what the sort of mine I'm talking about there, Kamoa, is basically driving the inclines down to the horizon, opening up like you would a coal mine on a very flat system and developing a mine very quickly, much easier than sinking a vertical shaft, having what they call the cross cut to load, which is the cross cut to the ore body, establishing all the arterials. So even the underground part of it is 5 or 6 years. That's not the case with this Kamoa-style mineralization. And who knows, there may be a block thrown to surface where it's very simply inclined from surface. But no doubt the region is there for the taking. It's not there for the taking for anybody now because it's all taken, but there will be this discovery. There will be more new mines in Zambia, and the Solwezi region will be the origin of the mines. And some of them will be Kamoa type, some of them will be Kolwezi type. And so really, what's in it for extract? We needn't lead the charge, you know. We needn't bust down budget because the size of budgets which are being employed by the really big boys is so big that they will find for us our trends, our directions, our dips. Because, you know, these ore bodies don't suddenly turn around and go the other way. They, when God put them down, they were in massive geological, tectonic, volcanic. There was, you know, what was going on was absolutely major in terms of reshaping the earth. So they were put in straight lines, generally put in straight lines. What alters those straight lines, of course, strike, further turbulence at a later date where there was faulting. And then, you know, they got the lava coming up and if there was an entrapment really where the lava couldn't go anywhere, it was full of full of metal. Then, of course, it lodges itself there and it's nicely contained to be found. Equally, there was lava flows, basalt flows, which can make the geometry somewhat discontinuous in places. So it's an all new environment. It's understood by the experts. It's understood by people in our team, questioned by our youngsters. And we're going to drill our first hole, hopefully, when the rains start. I don't know which one of the projects it'll be, but I pretty much think it will be in extract. And we're not going to go drilling deep holes 650 meters and blowing the budget, as has been suggested. I'm not there for that. We're going to piggyback all the information we've got. We're currently creating the biggest cartoon sheets you've seen, putting every single deposit on there, putting every single pit, every single trench, every single borehole. If it was drilled 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I don't care. Put it on there. And that's how I found Kalambila. Kalambila was found by creating a huge cartoon. And I did it one night, and strange enough, about this time of the year, after the Indaba. I did it. I take full claim for it. And I have people who will support me on that. I put every single borehole. I didn't want straight lines. And sooner or later, there had to be some guesswork. And the guesswork came from the best proximity. And the best proximity gave us 114 meters at 1.1%. And that was the story of Kalambila. And it just went on and on from there. 1.5 billion tons at 0.69. So I'm proud of that, but I've recognized that we need help. And boy, have we got the help. I'm so proud now to have people like Mike Oldman, Martin Churchhouse, Hunter, who's been working all through Southern Africa, our new young geologists. And of course, don't let's forget the young geologists who work in Zambia. They've been well trained by a company called GeoQuest. They work for us as well. So when I say we've got 5 geologists, we've got about 8. We are determined to make tomorrow's discovery, but I don't mind being second in the row, you know, to somebody like Rio Cobalt or Anglo-American. It's never bothered me before, and it's not going to bother me now. But I think what you need, what our market needs, what the AIM market needs, and the supporters of Zambia, they need that big discovery. Our combination with the First Quantum has proved the architecture. We're in it. There's no doubt. We're in it. Now somebody's got to fire an hole straight through the mineralization. I don't know if it's going to be us or them. But as I say, it really isn't that important.
So recapping, we've got African Pioneer and First Quantum basically saying the architecture is there. It's as we expected. It's as we thought it was going to be coming in from the DRC. And it then moves up out of Zambia and back into Angola or down maybe. Back.
No, it's just one continued mass.
So we have licenses for Galileo in that same area. We have licenses for extract in that same area. And we have the licenses that are being worked on now with First Quantum in that area. So, I mean, basically there's prospective situations for all of them. What other assets in Zambia do any of the companies hold?
Well, as you know, Extract has looked at a number of potential small mines. One of them is Chongwe, Kakui, and there's also another one called Silver King that we're looking at. As I say, our target would be 8,000 tons of copper per annum. Very low cost entry and enough ore to justify startup, but enough potential at strike so it can have a low key drilling program to keep a mine going for between 3 and 5 years. So that's the sort of thing we're looking at there. And of course, you know that the Galileo, of course, have got the whopping great Luwonsobi position, which they're very proud of. And that really, you know, can be something quite spectacular. But of course, that's on traditional copper belt. And that really, represents, and of course, Galileo have been talking about Botswana lately. They've got a very, very nice situation in the blocks. If you remember, some blocks went to Sandfire and some blocks were retained. Those blocks were retained are again being boosted by another company called Cobre. And they've been boosted in turn by BHP choosing them as either their prospector in Botswana. And then, of course, we had that very nice announcement the other day from ARC Minerals. If you remember, ARC Minerals produced, was it 4 or 5 cracking? Really, really nice holes in one of the fold areas, not very far from us. So when you think about it, projects in Botswana and Galileo are very, very well situated.
Very good. Very exciting.
You probably saw the other day that Sandfire opened its mine, ramped it up on budget, on time, and it's proven to be a successful little operation, not so little. And then the other mine, which was First Discovery, then Kupik Canyon, that was sold for $1.9 billion the other day. And we've got properties near that too, quite close to that. And they'll be needing feed. So, you know, it's all happening for us. It's happening for Galileo. It's happening for Extract. We're very, 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 very pleased. And of course, African Pioneer have got the dream ticket of that first deal with First Quantum. We were first on the block and we're proof of concept.
It's hard to choose which child you love the most.
I love them all. The thing it is to do, though, if they all want a pair of tackies, maybe you haven't got enough money to give them all a pair of tackies. So love falls away, emotion falls away, the practicalities of spend your money wisely. I've got a bunch of shareholders out there, Extract has, Galileo, the old of the London market has got a set of disappointed shareholders. I've got a real job to do, Kevin. You find yourself in a position that, you know, when you're running a junior mining company, people are just supporting you. It's a venture capital market. But of course, in a venture capital market, be it high tech or whatever it is, you're generally backing people and teams. And it's for us in Extract, for us in Galileo, African Pioneer and the likes. We just have to perform for our shareholders. You know, I've spent quite a bit of time over the last week looking on the bulletin boards. I knew people weren't happy. Of course, they weren't happy. Why would they be? I'm not. But I sense now that we're all at that stage where, come on, do it. And I intend to. Our team intends to. We're committed. We're committed to Extract. We're committed to Galileo. And I tell you what, you know, we haven't been making that many fundraisers in some of the companies either. We haven't been making them to keep the lights on. And when this day comes, when the market opens up, which it will, Kevin, you'll find that our stable of companies have got discoveries, very little greenfields in there, lots of brownfields. And when that major interest comes saying, where are we going to find the next lot of copper? You know, the guys at Goldman Sachs are going on about our earnings being great, but our metal inventory being poor in the back of the annual report. These companies will be better placed than most companies in our market. And that's what I've been trying to do since 2017, is get our positions and get our companies well-placed, take positions we can finance. I mean, you heard the names that are in the Northwest. How on earth are we stuck in the middle of all that lot? Well, to be stuck in the middle of all that lot, we've had to make some commitments. Fortunately, Talai has told you that she believes in us and their directors believe in us. And so therefore, we've managed to get deals where other juniors might not have got. But nonetheless, we've got to perform.
Colin, a question that comes to my mind is, how did you know Talai or the operation that she's involved in? Where did that connection come from?
Well, one doesn't like being bold, but I mean, you know, I have that. I've got a long history in Zambia, extremely well known at old man level, because some of them can remember me on the mines as a manager. Callum Beeler, of course, gave me great recognition in the country and made a lot of friends, a lot of associates, and joined that exercise. Govan know me, which is good. And it's a very arrogant thing to say, but our desk is always full of possibilities, has been for the last 3 or 4 years. We're the group to come to if you want to get an honest, as she put it, as Talai put it, if you want an honest explorer who's going to do the best to find the goodies, then come to Colin Bird's group, come to, you know, to the group of companies that he's involved with. And that's based purely on honesty and integrity and making a commitment and keeping that commitment. Okay. Sounds boring, but that's the way business should be done, Kevin.
No, it is. It's the way business is done, and especially in these parts of Africa as well. It's very important that they know who you are, see your face, and vice versa. Yeah, I mean, all I can say is as a district, and we've mentioned many companies there, with Arc Minerals, Galileo, AFP, Extract Resources, and there are quite a few, obviously, the bigger majors that you've talked about involved as well and want to be involved. I suppose my question is, you know, how many of the majors would like you or Grant?
I'm going to make a daft statement. All of them. We're in a very enviable position.
Okay, so it seems really that Zambia is the real estate to own right now in terms of the copper space. I mean, just give us your overview of thoughts on that, Colin, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I think we've said most of it, but some really big names there, and they're coming all the time. We're in a pivotal position. We're in the key position, the key region. We're not talking about a district even. We're in the key region, and our companies are extremely well placed. Zambia is still a place to be if you want to look for IOCGs in the central. The Indaba's coming up, as you know, and I should imagine what little bit of ground there is left is going to be a bit of a bun fight for that as well. So I'm expecting a lot of interest in what we're doing at the Indaba, and we just want to finalize our few little positions that remain unsolved. And Zambia is our bet, copper is our bet, and I think that anyone who joins in with us probably on a pretty good wicket.
Yeah, on that note, I think it's been a good chat. We thank you, Colin, and we thank our other guests, and we look forward to seeing the progress that occurs over the next few weeks, months, and years.
Thank you very, very much indeed. And of course, that's the beauty of it. I don't think it's certainly going to be years. I think that things are evolving so fast that there's going to be a more rapid result than there might have been in other situations. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Let's hope so.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.